Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we'll review The Power.
The Power.
The Power. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts and then go to deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going to do a short film corner and we're doing the movie, I think it's called Safety.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's called Safety, and we should probably go over here. Let's lock this door behind us and hide underneath this desk.
Grab the blankets, and we'll cover ourselves.
So I had assumed this was another horror short, which, I mean, it's not a horror,
it's horror.
Short.
It is, but right?
Because there's a lot sadder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, no, it's, I was like, what am I watching? This is horrible. To explain what we're talking about, it's, okay, wait. So there's different types of horror, right? There's like supernatural horror. There's, you know, I don't know, psychological horror, monster horror, but this is like real life horror.
Yeah.
This is like shit that happens now that was started in our generation while we were in high school. You may have been middle school, but I was in high school. Yeah. And what we're talking about is
Columbine happened
basically
1999.
Sure.
Then, yeah, I was still in middle school. I was like about to go to high school. Yeah.
No, I was already in high school. So I think it was, no, I wasn't. It was, I in high school in 99?
I think so. Yeah. I think you're a couple of grades ahead of me. Right?
I graduated 2002, I think. Yeah, so 2-1. Yeah, that checks. Yeah. So, Safety. It's basically like a slice of life captured in real time of a active shooter at schools, right?
For the most part, it's like if you've seen any of, like, let's say, like, Elephant. Or, you know,
that was exactly the movie I was thinking about.
You know, any sort of movie like that, which I know there's like a couple of more. It has the same exact feeling at the beginning, which was pretty cool because it was very suspenseful and like tense. But I almost checked out until that moment where this like little kid like notices something hanging off what like the active shooter's rifle.
Yeah,
and then there's like a bit of a twist that made me real sad.
Why don't you explain the twist?
Okay, let's start off with like, I don't know who this dude is, this actor that plays the gym teacher, but he fucking killed it. He was good.
He was super good.
Like, amazing. Mm-hmm. I wish I...
Has like an everyman quality to him. He seems like a gym teacher. Yeah. And, the way he reacted to the event was felt correct. Does that make sense? Like, it felt like the right thing to do in that sequence. And
I
think there's really something
natural, the way he did it.
Yeah.
Like, he was very,
I was
going to
say it's super earnest. Yeah.
Like, he was cautious because he was like, what's that noise? But then it didn't take him very long to figure out, like, this is not good. He closes the gym door, tells the kids to all go to the boys' locker room. And then he keeps hearing the gunshots and he's like telling everybody to be quiet. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, imagine having kids that young and telling them to like, hey, please don't talk. I guess like his office that doesn't have the lock on it. Right. You could see that sense of like dread on his face where he's like, I haven't fucking fixed the deadbolt. There's no lock. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
And then he makes all the kids lie down on their back, tells them to be as quiet as possible, and he covers them with, I'm not sure what it was, but it felt appropriate for like a gym setting. I don't know. Like it was some sort of like tarp of some sort. Uh-huh. I'm assuming to cover gym equipment or something. And then finally the active shooter comes in, starts like tapping on the glass. And then this little kid sees I don't want to get this wrong. It's some sort of armed services, right? Sort of like a token of some sort, a necklace. Like it's got the insignia for, I couldn't see it very well, but it looked like Marines or something like that.
Yeah.
And then this little kid's like, oh, he says some name and just walks straight out. And I like that the kid knows enough, even though he's a little kid. When the guy asks, like, well, where is the rest of your class? He says, oh, they're outside, instead of like telling him, well, they're right in this room I was in. And I like as they're walking out, the gym teacher just starts fucking crying, like while keeping quiet. I was like, dude.
Yeah.
You know, that was like a real good moment. Like, oh, fuck. And then, he goes outside. This guy's like pulling this kid's arm, sort of guiding him up like this mountain or like a hill, I should say. Walks past somebody he had shot, clearly another teacher, and takes off his mask. And he's like basically saying, hey, little brother, they're going to ask you why I did this. I know they're going to ask. They're going to ask why I did this. You just tell them I'm not crazy. I'm not fucking crazy for doing this. And he just like starts crying.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like when that happens, the gym teacher at the same time, like kind of, well, like he musters up the courage, like this is my job sort of deal, and just tells the kids to stay there and tries to run out after the kid. And there's that moment where after the brother told the little brother to run back home, which he does in record time, by the way. According to the geography I could tell from, he was on top of a hill, and during this like 30-second span, ran all the way down the hill, all the way to like their home, which seemed to be out in the middle of the, like the boonies or something. Because the mom was there, and the mom looks out the window because she heard the gunshots, I think, and knocks over, I guess, the kid's notebook, the kid that the active shooter's notebook, and it's filled with like, which this was a little bit silly, I'll be honest. It's like drawings of like him with like a gun, I guess, like pen drawings saying bang, bang, fuck these people or something like that. And then it cuts back to the gym teacher who like sees the kid he's supposed to be taking care of and the active shooter with the gun, and he starts running, and the active shooter turns around and looks like he's pointing his gun toward the gym teacher, but then shoots himself instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. I thought it was a very effective moving piece. Really well directed. I like the way he cut up the suspense. And good drama. Good acting. I did like it. I liked it a lot. It was different.
A lot. Yeah. It was very good. Oh, you know what? We reviewed something similar to this before. It was an animated short about, what is it, grieving parents who lost their kid to an active shooter. Do you remember this? It was like one of the first shorts we reviewed. It's like a short animation.
Oh. I think we did. Kind of sounds familiar.
Yeah, where it's like a...
I don't remember explicitly.
A husband and wife are in two different rooms and they're not really talking. And then it has like sort of shadowy memories of their kid getting killed by an active shooter. And then somehow the kid's like spirit kind of brings them back together at the end.
I remember that. Yeah. I don't remember the name or specifics, but I do remember that. Yeah. Not the typical horror fare we review. It's not Elf on the Shelf.
It's definitely not Elf on the Shelf or Silent Night, Deadly Night. 5, the toy maker.
Yeah, so it's definitely class. This shortage is definitely classing up the joint on the show. So, no, yeah, it was a really well thoughtfully made piece. Really well done.
Yeah,
it's sad. It's really unfortunate and sad that stuff like this is made. You know, but I think it's our part of our generation's. I don't know.
Yeah,
something we bear. You know. The active shooter, and probably I was gonna mention that the whatever they did with the tarp is probably something they practiced. You know, that's something that I did briefly in high school. Was we did a couple of drills. You know, like, you know how we always do the fire drills. That was a common thing where you like you'd go, you line up, you go hang out outside and just make a bunch of jokes.
Yeah.
Quote unquote, the building's on fire, you know, and then get in trouble and stuff. But yeah, we should do a few of those drills.
Yeah, they're kind of similar to, I do remember doing a few of these. Kind of reminded me of what I guess they were doing in the 50s with like nuclear attacks, right? It was kind of like hide underneath your desk,
mm-hmm.
lock the door, turn mm-hmm. off the lights.
Yeah, no, that's, and I thought that was one thing is they probably did practice this and they probably all know to stay put or like, hey, this is the thing we're going to do if yeah, be quiet, shit like that. And then just recently there was that video, I don't know, where some kid was recording, there's an active shooter. He was recording inside his classroom and it cuts through like part of the video where like the active shooter's like trying to get in the classroom. And like he's pretending he's a cop, yes. And the kids outside, they're recording it.
Yeah,
that's like the hint, and they're like, "Oh no, fuck no!" And then they all just take out. You know, they all leave through the window. Yeah, no, it's unfortunate. It's really sad and tragic that this is something
just keeps happening.
That keeps happening. That unfortunately, our young people have to deal with. We don't, as adults, we don't have answers for. It's just something we can't really like protect them or like help them with. It's just something that's a part of their life, unfortunately.
I feel like you can explain some of them though, you know, like, if you encourage your 17-year-old son to cross state lines and go shoot a bunch of people and pretend that they're defending themselves, you know?
Oh yeah. No. There's a lot of there's a lot of people that have dug in, you know, have drawn a line in the sand on this issues, and I don't know. It's to me is a microcosm of our society currently. You know, it's just a lot of selfishness.
Yeah.
You know, with individuals and people. People are so quick to say their rights are being, you know, violated, you know, and think of themselves instead of like what, as a whole, as what we are as society, you know, we're all in this together. I guess it's hard for people to see it that way.
I was going to,
you know, because America,
this might line up the middle a little bit, but where was this passion when they were trying to enforce the clear plastic backpacks that look so fucking stupid? Why make us use these clear? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
And then the alternative, which everybody was like, no, this is way cooler, were the net backpacks by JanSport, which, you know, in retrospect, it's like, yeah, I forced my mom and dad to buy me one of those. But did it keep my shit clean? Absolutely not. Did it help in a raid? No.
I mean, at this point in high school, I wasn't even taking a backpack, I think. I didn't take anything to school.
Nice, yeah.
It was teenager daycare. I was not a school first person, let's put it that way. If that makes sense. Yeah, like I mean, I think high school was weird. And I just wanted to get out of there as soon as possible.
Yep. Agreed. Anyway, that's our review of safety.
Yeah, that's our review of safety. Because adulting is easy. I'm a, you know, I think I'm starting to get the hang of it, you know, I'm amateur adult, so.
Yeah. I'm working on it. I think the idea is you just keep working, doing stuff that you hate, and you got to suck it up because that's just the way life is, as opposed to changing it or fixing it. That's just... And don't talk to older people about this because they went through it and they need to make sure you go through it too. Because they'll, yeah, they'll be damned if they're the only people going through it.
Or what was that meme I sent you that they told our generation to go to school, which made us overeducated and overly gay.
Yeah, yeah.
so now we're all unemployed or something like that. I forgot the punchline, but it's something like that. Yeah. But yeah. So that's safety. And so I didn't really like, I think it was a little heavy handed to put the title at the end. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just rang wrong. It just, cause this is safety. It's a little bit like you see this horrifying events portrayed pretty accurately, right?
Yeah.
And dramatically. And then they cut to black and the first thing you see is safety. It's like big. He could have just put that thing on big red neon signs and hammered it home, you know.
Or what if the short film did that thing? What if the short film farted and then said safety real quick so you didn't have a chance to punch it? Because I'm
should have just ended on a joke.
No, do you remember people playing that game? Like they would fart and they would have to yell safety real quick so they wouldn't get punched.
No.
It's a pretty popular game in high school. It's like somebody would fart and say safety, so they wouldn't. They kind of like the what is that game called? The AOK game. I'm calling it the AOK game. I don't know what else to call it. Where you like do the circle with your thumb and index finger, and it's below your waist. And if somebody looks at it, you get to punch them.
Oh, what was that called? It had a name.
Anyway, so
holy shit, that is old.
So,
yeah, like,
so all these games
you did the little like you do this the fucking like 4chan circle, right? Like the the thing.
Yeah.
You did the hole, and then like if you looked at it, you get hit in the fucking arm or some shit,
which I think is like it's also ASL. I mean, depending on which way you hold your circle or thumb index finger circle with your fingers out, I think yeah. With ASL yeah. It means asshole, so that's kind of funny.
Yeah, I guess it is an asshole. It's a round circle. Wow. No, I don't know if this surprises you, John, but I was very quiet and didn't go to school very much. I wanted to get the hell out of there. I was very
classic games where
emo.
People would fart and say safety so they didn't get punched.
I mean, that sounds hilarious now.
I mean, how are you supposed to mature as a person if you don't play games where you fart and say safety?
Yeah. No, yeah. I was. I had super long hair, which they always ask me to cut, and and I never went to school. I don't know if any of this surprises
really.
You, John. Yeah. All right. So that's safety. Really interesting Omeletto short. You can find it on YouTube.
Which they are real hit or miss, huh?
They are real hit and miss, which I like, because then you kind of never know what you're going to get, right? It's either going to be something thought-provoking or Elf on the Shelf.
Or
you know?
Birds of Prey, which I'm pretty sure is the name of the short.
Yeah. What was it? Process of Crime, or what is it? Proceeds of Crime.
I think it's
a really group, overly thought title.
A gang... No, I forgot. I was just gonna try to say the description, which is always their movie title for some reason.
Not Birds of Prey. Yeah.
A gang biker gang, right, goes around stealing young women's hair and pick the wrong vampire.
Yeah, I hate when that happens. Again? Yeah. Again, ugh. This always happens. Alrighty. Let's move on to our main review of The Power. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drumroll, please.
For Johnny's 5-word plot summary, for The Power, we have coming in at number 3, 1970s to play early 1900s. Did you have trouble figuring out, like, I know it kept saying the date, but it was supposed to be like 1974 or something, right?
Yeah.
I was like, was there even any point in putting that? Like, I kept forgetting.
Yeah, it felt like 1800s, right? Yeah. Like, I was like, why aren't they talking in Cockney accents and stuff?
Coming in at number 2, I have 1970s London, original Texas infrastructure. And that's going to be a little play.
Nice.
Jabbing our home state's shitty infrastructure that our fearless leaders over there keep defending, even though several people died last winter.
I think more than several.
Yeah. But it's not. Okay. It's not. It's California's fault for some reason. And coming in at number 1, nurse plays hide and seek.
Ah, that's a good one.
That is the whole movie.
Excellent. Excellent. That is the whole movie. Yeah.
I got a little bonus. It's more of a qualm I have with the film. Snaps the Power wasn't played once.
Snaps the Power?
Which... Yeah. I've got the power. Like, what a missed opportunity.
They should have played like an acoustic version in the beginning, and then just like when the credits roll, they should have played the 80s version of it.
You're right. Or like a choir version, like they always do with Radiohead songs, right?
In trailers. They play the slow acoustic version of a song to make it more haunting. Yeah. So John, what did you think of The Power?
I liked it. I mean, it's real heavy on what it's trying to tell you.
Yeah. Like,
real heavy. But I did enjoy it. I mean, I don't know if enjoy is the right word. I liked it.
It's okay.
Just because it was, obviously it's about sexism and, you know, adultery and also pedophilia, right?
Yeah.
All of the above.
Easy topics.
I mean, I wish I could say there's only one rape scene in this movie, right? But there's more than one. but yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, I really like how they set up the rolling blackouts of 1970, whatever. And, you know, every time it goes dark, I'm like, oh shit, you're fucked now.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, one problem I had was like, I called, it was like so easy to call who the bad guy is at the very beginning of the movie. Like, oh, okay, this guy.
Yeah. Like, that's the weakest. I felt like the mystery is the weakest part. I honestly, I wouldn't even call this movie a mystery movie. It's more in line with a possession movie, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, and it's
I thought
not,
those elements were the strongest.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, it's not like the first time you see a movie like this. Mm-hmm. You know, there are like a ton of movies where the person's possessed and you're like, oh, a bad thing, but the spirit of the ghost is just trying to tell you something, right?
Listen, it carves that into your stomach.
Like what lies beneath, right, is probably like the last real big one. Maybe. Yep. I don't know. There's probably others. But it was pretty good. Did I understand the ending? Not really. Like, they were running away because she did kill a lot of people, even though she was possessed. Yeah. Still doing that.
We'll hold that for spoilers. We could do called.
Okay, sorry. For spoilers. Kidnapping.
Because then I can't
too?
Use your music you made.
Oh yeah.
You just blurted out. I'm able to cut your music in.
I just had questions because there's like a lot. Anyway, okay.
No, yeah, I think I really liked it too. I'm unfamiliar with the 74's rolling blackouts.
Yeah.
Situation, but I'm assuming this is what like the Clash and all these musicians were writing about how shitty England was at the time.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this were a lot of punk bands and all that shit got started. But yeah, no, I think the weakest parts are that I think it overly relies too much on sparseness, ambiance, you know, like kind of like melancholiness. There's a lot of like dead, you know, minimalism to it. I don't know if I'm explaining that correctly. But I think that once the story is really, really interesting. And I think that especially with, I like the idea that she has to work at night. Like she has no choice, right? Because of these blackouts, which is a great hook for a horror movie. And I thought that the, so you definitely have that kind of like, and it's this big, giant hospital or whatever. So it definitely has that like horror haunted, you know, haunted kind of vibe. I don't want to say haunted house, but I'd say like haunted, whatever building.
Yeah. You know, that story that part to reminded it. Me. Yeah. I was going to say that part that everything you just described reminded me a lot of Session Number 9. Do you remember that?
Right.
Part?
Yeah.
I had that same feeling.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very similar, yeah. And unfortunately, I feel like the story is something we've seen quite a bit. The main story of a sort of ghostly entity trying to be heard or something, you know, trying to get at, communicate its you know, its problem or something. And it uses this new sort of, you know, young naive girl to kind of communicate or try to get out what it is that's wrong with her, right?
Yeah, pretty
pretty common.
That other movie we just reviewed that I had trouble liking. I couldn't say it was a bad movie. I thought it was pretty good. I forgot what it was that I didn't like about it. Shit, something Sister Saint Maud? Saint Maud?
Saint Maud. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's well, I would say that's Saint Maud was more from the perspective of somebody who's clearly disturbed or insane.
That's true. Yeah.
This is kind of like a I don't know, what's a good one? Devil's Backbone ghost story.
Yeah.
You know, like something kind of fucked up is going on. Something's fucked up going on here. Something's wrong with the hospital and. That's why it's being haunted.
I like that, though. Can you imagine if that was the Ghostbusters catchphrase instead of, I ain't afraid of no ghost. It's like, something fucked up's going on here.
But I will say that I really liked, oh man, I should have got her name. Rose Williams. She was the lead in this. I thought she was really good. I thought she played sort of, you know, young, naive, new. This is like her first day on the job. She seems very idealistic. And when she's had, there's definitely segments in the movie where she's like possessed. And I thought she did an excellent job because she's like, you know, very spastic and contorting, like an actual like possession. I thought she, all of that was portrayed very, very well. Like I thought, yeah. And I think this was the writer director. Karina Faith was very, she was, this is the first thing I think she's written and directed. And I thought it was very well done, very competent.
Yeah.
And, like in terms of like a first feature, it feels like a small budget movie, but in no ways does it take you out of it. Does that make sense? Like I thought the mood and the sort of like the, the scares, the stuff like that was pretty all really well constructed and done within the movie.
Yeah.
What did you think?
No, I agree with that. Something I got to add onto that though, is I felt like it was, I'm trying to be understanding, but what a great disservice to the film that, is her name Devine or Divine? Devine Henry, who played the matron. Like, I just wanted to see more of her. She was such a badass. I mean, she's the reason that the whole, right. I mean, the happens because, what's her face? Rose, goes and talks to that young doctor because she thinks he's a, like, whatever he's done for homeless people, right? Or poor people. Something about, their diets and their whatever are the reason they're dying off because we're not helping them sort of deal.
Yeah.
But I like how that, I mean, honestly, what she did kind of undermine everything the matron told her not to do. You know, it's like the matron's like, I run a strict ship here. Like, basically, like, don't fucking break the rules. And the first thing she does, you know, like the very, yeah.
Don't talk to a doctor.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The very first thing she does.
Yeah.
And it was like, the matron is pissed off, but now she can't do anything about it. But she does enough to be like, hey, you're going to be here for the blackout. She's like, no, I can't. Like, okay, I guess you can leave then. I was like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I would totally do the same thing. Yeah. Like, why the fuck? Yeah. Anyway, I thought that actress was fucking brilliant.
I thought she was really good too. She plays like stern boss that I think is doesn't seem it. That was one thing about the movie that I don't know if it's hard to believe, but it's everybody seems to not care, right? Everyone's just kind of whatever, right? Like, who cares? Who cares what you think? You're just here. And then some of the other nurses don't have their own agenda or don't believe her. At first, they all act, I don't know, in their own interest, I guess is the easy way to say that. Like, it just seemed like every character kind of just was purposely, you know, written in a way to be selfish, leaving our main character to be more vulnerable. Does that make sense? And I don't think it always was convincing.
They were portrayed that way because they were used to turning a blind eye to what's going on. Because that was in the paintings on the wall and all that, that they were all a part of this. Which is why the ghost didn't want some of these people around. But then like the one that I thought was kind of like the shittiest person, it gets to get away, I think. this is terrible of me to say. The really attractive nurse with the glasses that like basically says, fuck this shit, and she just bounces. I think so too.
I think she got
was
away.
Like probably personality wise like the worst one. Like she was a horrible person.
Yeah she put all her self-interest up front. You know, she was very like very forward about how she felt about the situations, like blaming her for certain things and stuff. I don't know, it just seemed like I get the intent, but I don't believe that all of this was going on at the hospital. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know. It seemed a little not believable. Because I felt like those things were in place only to heighten our main character's vulnerability, you know?
Or also kind of make it okay that they potentially die, I guess.
Also to isolate her also, you know, because to make her feel, it's like one of those things where they try to make her feel like she's crazy, like, you know, like all this shit's happening to me and nobody believes me, you know, it's a pretty like common trope as well.
I will say, the most effective parts, like you were saying, involved a lot of like when she had to go out on her own. And like she could feel something behind her, she could hear something. And I'm like, dude, this is actually pretty good. And then she got like forced to the basement. And then she got, did she get like raped by a ghost? Is that the idea? I don't think so, right? Yeah.
I think the ghost possess her. I think they just jump like, in her body and they.
Well, because you remember that she, when she goes back up, she's like, I got assaulted, but when I turned around, there was nobody there. Which I know is supposed to be reenactment of what you find out later. But,
some of the children were assaulted and molested. Oh. Yeah.
out of that.
Yeah.
Going around. The one part that did fucking scare me though, like I did like the one jump scare that got me was when she's like in the hall by herself and she like churns her lamp and the asshole security guard is like behind the window looking at her. Oh. I was like, ah. It's like the one part that made me scream. Not scream, but like I was like, oh fuck. But I guess for good reason, because he was a scumbag.
Yeah, he was a complete scumbag. Yeah. You mentioned the scene that I thought was really effective was when she's trying to run away and she's running towards the end of the hallway and we can kind of see some like ghostly kids and shit. And she almost makes it all the way to the end and then the ghost like jump in her body and pull her all the way back. I was like, oh, that sucks. Because she had just like completely did, you know, reenacted the assault that some of these kids had went through. And so she was like acting very like contorting and like, being punished and stuff like that. So to watch her to see that, you know, to kind of see somebody just like get pulled back into this, having no control over your body, you know, having no control of how you can react.
Like that. And she's also making everybody sick, like purposely making all these kids sick and like other patients by forcing the soot or whatever from the furnace into the air vents. You know, like it took me a second to figure out like what, because they don't fully explain that, but it's obvious when you find out that, I guess they like, the doctor burned her, like just threw her in the furnace.
Yeah, because they couldn't find the body. So I'm assuming they do mention that the child is that ran away, right? And they didn't find the body. So I'm assuming, based on the ghostly figures, that she was burned alive.
Yeah.
In the. Because I guess that's where, like, who, you know, our main bad guy or whatever, the molester, he was taking him down to the
boiler room.
What is that?
No,
the furnace? Yeah. Basement area?
He's Freddy Krueger.
The boiler room, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of, low-key, I was kind of hoping that this nurse actually ended up being that little girl that got burnt alive. I don't know what I was looking for there, but I was not expecting her to actually just like, I was about to spoil the ending again.
Cool. Do you want to just go to spoilers?
Yeah, let's do a spoiler.
All right.
Wait, no. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Cause we're about to go into
spoilers.
So she saves the day with what's the ghost girl's name? I just can't remember.
I can't remember anybody's name.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
So she, I guess, gets possessed and kills the doctor. So now her murder count is up to 3, I think, or 4.
Right.
So she has to run away. She doesn't have a choice. Saba is the name of the young girl that's alive, right?
Saba, yeah.
Our other lead, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
So she's able to save Saba from getting molested by that doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're trying to run away, they run into the matron who said there's another way out. No, she just says there's another way. It's like worded specifically. So they turn around and start running down the dark hallway into the dark. And she's holding Saba's hand. And then she's holding the ghost girl's hand too. And then that's just kind of how it ends, right?
That's how it ends. Yeah. They have their little revenge on the doctor that was doing the molesting. I forget his name. Was it Franklin? I think. Franklin?
Sure.
Dr. Franklin, yeah, I think Franklin, was his name.
That is correct.
I'm assuming they get hit the revenge on him, and then they still find their way out of the hospital and stuff like that. Yeah, that's pretty much what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm imagining they ran out the same way the nurse with the glasses ran away through, I guess.
Or the other nurse that jumped out of the window or fell out of the window. Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah. I thought that was kind of funny, but I thought about it, it's like, that's a pretty human reaction to the situation.
Yeah.
Like, if you're being, like in the situation like that, if shit like that's really going down, like, you're thinking, okay, well, let's get out of the window. This chick is fucking crazy. She's nuts, right? She's, like, stabbing herself and, like, looks dirty and gross. Let's climb out this window. Fortunately, she falls and slowly crawls away. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of funny, but like human in its behavior.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the movie. I'm not, it's real heavy handed on, again, the message, which is about sexual assault.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, what'd you think of the movie, though?
I thought it was really well made. I think that there is a lot of like tension, a lot of like good setup for an interesting ghost/possession movie. I think there's some like nice performances, grounded performances. I think that the mystery is not interesting at all. Like, I think it's
no mystery, right?
You could see a mile away. Yeah. It's something you can kind of see a mile away. I was kind of hoping that there would be more of a twist on this sort of story. But I think the writer director does a well enough job of creating sympathy for the main character. That I was invested in seeing her through the movie. Like, I wanted to see her survive or, like,
and while we were talking about it, it just in my head kind of clicked that I think it's kind of a cop out that Saba doesn't know English. Yeah. And then a doctor that does speak, I don't even know what language she speaks. I don't think she even speaks that language really, right? Like, she doesn't really talk at all. She does talk at the end. There's that other doctor is translating, and then instead of like, oh, this is going on, he decides, oh, no, I guess like every other person that works there, no, I can't ruin my career with this information. I'm not going to help you. It's like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's a lot of like hospital bureaucracy, you know, there's a lot of like, because he's also was a foreigner to that country.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, he probably feels that he probably doesn't want to stand out, especially being, I mean, let's put it this way. Like that doctor you're talking about was Indian as well. Yeah, that's why true. He was translating for Saba. So he's probably like, I'm like probably one of the few brown people in this building. So I'm not going to like, you know, stick out at any point, you know, so he can do his job or whatever. So, I mean, that kind of made sense that he didn't want to get too involved.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You know what it is about that moment, I guess I didn't really like was like, you already knew what she said without knowing what she said. You know, again, like the mystery wasn't there. So I was like, okay. I mean, like a little added extra bonus to really, you know, solidify that young glasses dude is a pedo.
Yeah, and
oh, which is a spoiler. Sorry, yeah.
I mean,
young handsome glasses dude.
No, we're spoiling. Yeah,
I feel like we've been dancing around that. Maybe we didn't actually say it. That young glasses dude is a bad guy the entire time. One of the bad guys, I would say.
Yeah. I think what she's director is trying to say is. The character is, you know, determined. She means well. She's incredibly sympathetic in her causes, you know. But there's when you bring those sort of things into the workplace, maybe you're not gonna be met with the same open-handedness, you know, like open-mindedness to what she's trying to. Accomplish, even though she has good intentions, you know, because everyone has different agendas and set in their ways, and like there's a hierarchy within the
hospital,
you know, and
also, yeah,
1970 is a woman,
play 1800s.
so it's like, you know, she kind of, I think that there's. I felt like those parts were pretty interesting and grounded. I don't know if they're realistic in all aspects because I felt like everybody was against her. She's everybody's so against her that it almost feels like she's like a martyr.
There's also moments where, you know, what like the security guard guy after she runs away from him. And he's basically saying, like, I wouldn't give you the time of day, sweetheart, because he was going to try to assault her. Says, I know that you're soiled goods anyway, so I'm assuming everybody knows her past for some reason. Like, everyone knows about it.
Right, yeah, because I guess they...
Because she got molested as a kid, too.
Yeah.
In the dark, and that's why she hates the dark. You know... That fucking moment in the elevator at the very beginning, where the janitor is like pulling up her skirt, I was like, "Whoa!" That kind of sets the tone for the movie, I think.
It does. Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely sets up that like this place is like not going to be easy to navigate or like meet like-minded individuals. Which, I mean, it. It's all things that suit the story. I don't know if necessarily that fits realistically with what they're trying to say. I don't know. I think for like the message and the action in the movie don't always line up. I don't know if it was completely believable, but I thought that there was for a movie set in the 70s. Like I think I had the right aesthetic. I had the right look, great locations, great execution on a lot of the horror points of it. Like, I also think it leans a little too much on the sort of restrained melancholiness of the piece. I think those things were in place because that sort of thing like creates isolation for the character, you know. So, I think there's a message here, but maybe it gets hammered home a little too much, in my opinion. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think like everything that happens in the movie, like you're saying, it's okay that it happened and it's okay that it's written that way. But I think what you're saying is like they lean a little too hard on this is why this moment's happening, as opposed to just letting it naturally happen and like let the viewer decide how to feel about it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
it's very leading.
Exactly. Like
there is. I don't know. What's a way to say it's kind of like exposition, but not it's like, or like it's leading the moment for you. So you feel you have to feel this way. And it's like, well, you could have just let it happen and then we decide from there.
Yeah, no, I think that's, it's along those lines. Like, I think it gets too heavy-handedness with the comments that it's trying to make, but I feel like those things are in place for this to serve the story. I don't know if it is a true reflection of that time or in the place in that story. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know. I felt like the way they behaved wasn't always, it served the story, not the behavior of the, it served the character and her isolation, but they never were really like real in that sense. That I don't know if that makes any sense. I really did like this movie. I don't know. I'm getting lost in explaining my thought here, but no, I really did like it as well.
Cool. Okay.
Cool. All right. We can go to sexy spooky bones. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give the power 5.4 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit higher because I really did like this movie. I don't know if I just got overly explained my thought. I was trying to get out, trying to make it sound like the way, you know, like try to make it sound like coherent thought, but I really did like it. I thought there's a lot here that's really interesting and a really interesting first feature. I'm going to give it 7 spooky bones out of 10. All right, guys and gals and non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to